This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
The John Anik and Kenny Florian podcast. John Anik and Kenny Florian.
Love him. I can't get enough of him.
Let's hear that Boston next.
Big jab there from Duffy and Frank Mir is hurt now.
Down goes Duffy on cold. Frank Mir does it again.
Rock'em sock'em robots here. Oh my goodness.
Hyperbole.
There are a couple of absolutely self-involved bullshit artists.
Here are your hosts, John Anik and Kenny Florian.
Headshot, bang.
This feels like the first episode of 2024, does it not? Good to have the award show in the rearview mirror, and great to have all of you back with us. It is Monday, January 8th, 2024, 11 a.m. Eastern on the Screws. It's episode 456 of the Anik and Florian podcast here on the DraftKings YouTube channel. The DraftKings Network clips can still be accessed on the Anik and Florian podcast YouTube channel. Big plans, by the way, for the Anik and Florian podcast YouTube channel. Supposedly, you and I might be live on that channel this Saturday night for the main event between Magomed Ankalaev and Johnny Walker. Is that? That's like 50-50 right now. That's not confirmed, is it?
It's 50-50. We shall see. But it's exciting, man. And you're right. You kind of took the words out of my mouth. This does feel like the official first podcast of the year. We have some good fight news. We got fights coming up, of course. We got predictions coming up. And yeah, that would be exciting. I really like that idea. If not for this one, then we got to make it happen for some others, man. That would be a lot of fun.
Maybe I could like FaceTime you during a pay-per-view from the broadcast booth and multitask that way. No.
Yes.
It's good to see you, though. So after the show last week, you were you hit the pavement, did you not? You drove up to D.C., is that right?
I did. Went up to see my good buddy Ryan Hall, trained with him for a little bit. And he's coming off the mend. Had a bunch of surgeries and he's ready to get back into action. So he's looking great. And getting back into myself.
Well, it's good to hear, man. That's good to hear. Yeah. You know, Ryan Hall is certainly a brain worth picking. And you and Corey Sandhagen and many others can attest to that. So I had all this great energy. I walk into my studio today. TJ DeSantis, our first producer on the Anik and Florian podcast, warned me last week that there would always be issues, right, with a home studio, even when you feel like you've crossed every T and dotted every I, so to speak,
right,
that sometimes these roadcasters just don't necessarily cooperate. So unfortunately, my roadcaster wasn't cooperating today. Hopefully it will later in the week because we'll be joined by our good friend Dominic Cruz. We will also be joined by UFC 297's Mike Malotte. Actually, the headliner, Drakus du Plessis, is supposed to join us here in about 5 minutes on the Anik and Florian podcast. But a lot of big things coming up in advance of the first pay-per-view of the year coming up on January 20th. But yeah, I'm on the UFC headset today. I am not with all the bells and whistles of the studio, but hopefully it still sounds pretty good. So one thing I just wanted to share before we get to Drakus and some of the big headlines. By the way, nice of Dana White to break some fight news for us on a Sunday, given that we tape here on a Monday morning. So you may see my shirt, Ken Flo, and it has the adjective palpable on it, right? So it says palpable adjective, readily or plainly seen, heard, perceived, etc., obvious, evident, capable of being touched or felt, tangible. And then it says UFC fights as part of the description. So this was a gift from one of our Anik and Florian podcast listeners, longtime UFC fan. I'm just going to read this letter real quick if I could. His name is Rip Lopuznak. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. First name Rip, though, pretty fucking strong, Ken Flo, if you ask me.
Yeah.
So he sent this to UFC headquarters. Dear Mr. Anik, hello. I hope you enjoy the enclosed shirt. Long story short, I am a longtime fan of UFC, and you, myself, any brothers and my buddies love when you say palpable during fights. We always call it out. The tension is palpable. I had this shirt made for you. I chose medium and white. I'll be pitting out in a second here, but the design is similar to what you would see inside a dictionary. The text also, I did that on purpose. If you like the shirt and idea, but the size or design is wrong, let me know. I can revise and fix that. No problem. Lastly, if you do wear it on a podcast or something, let me know. I would love the heads up. I watch most things UFC, but I might accidentally miss it. No worries if you don't wear it. This is just a fun goof. And at age 51, I'm too old to not do fun stuff like this. It is mainly done simply for the appreciation of you. Thank you for all the great UFC moments. Your orchestration of live events is palpable. You're the man. Best, Rip Lopuznak.
Heck yeah, dude.
Thank you, Rip. And I'm not going to crumple this up and throw it away because your information's on it. And I will be reaching out to you later today to direct you to this here 456th iteration of the Anakin Florian podcast. But before those UFC main events, Kenny, and I know you can relate, whether it was the first time you called a UFC pay-per-view, I think at UFC 83, or if you're sitting home watching it now, there's just nothing quite like it. And my microphone happens to be hot. So if I keep going back to that line, the tension is palpable, or I'm anxious, or I need a Quaalude, it's because I feel that emotion just like every fan out there.
This goes all the way back to when I was a kid, man. And you found out that two kids were going to meet outside and they were going to fight. Whether I was involved in it or not, it was always exciting. You know, people just circle around. They want to see a live fight. You're not quite sure what the hell is going to happen. And as adults, man, we get to experience that same thing over and over, not amongst like two kids are about to fight, but like literally the best fighters on the planet. It doesn't get much cooler than that.
Well, and I think that's why fans get so excited with fight announcements like happened last night, because right. just the singular quality of those two matchups. And we might as well get into it now. Waiting on the number two ranked UFC middleweight contender, Dricus du Plessis. He fights Sean Strickland coming up at UFC 297 on January 20th. But gosh, man, all of these pay-per-views are just getting loaded methodically. And I guess let's just start with UFC 299, if we could. March 9th, Miami, Florida, USA. Nice little drive from Boca Raton here. But added to that fight card to be headlined by Sean O'Malley and Marlon Chito Vera, Dustin Poirier and Benoit Saint-Denis in the lightweight division, a five-round co-main event. Now, anyone who has listened to this show understands why I am smiling right now, as Benoit, Seek and Destroy Saint-Denis, is getting a fight that has eluded a lot of top lightweights over the years. Guys like Paul Felder trying for years to get this Dustin Poirier fight, right? Benoit Saint-Denis has a lot of things going for him, Ken Flo. A fight style as crowd-pleasing as anyone's in the sport. The only Navy SEAL level Frenchman, you know, to get to the UFC. And I don't know, man, this is really interesting because a Dustin Poirier that maybe has turned his nose up at fights like Beneil Dariush really sees some value, not just financially, in this Benoit Saint-Denis challenge.
Well, I think the UFC sees a lot of value in our friend BSD because right. he's taken on Dustin Poirier, right? And I think that they see a tremendous amount of potential in this guy. And I think it's just tremendous matchmaking in general, because you have two guys that are known for the aggressive behavior inside the octagon, guys that are always looking for the finish, and also, frankly, two guys that know how to finish in a variety of ways, whether it's on the ground or on the feet. Both these guys are extremely dangerous, and I think it makes it very interesting because of it. As someone who has been in Dustin Poirier's spot, who hasn't quite achieved the title, but is considered elite, and you have this guy who really is an up-and-comer, right? A guy who could be that, could be elite. If I'm Dustin Poirier, like I did when I was fighting, I take this very personally. I say, no, I'm not going to be your stepping stone. I'm not letting you make a name off of me. I'm still legit. I'm still the man, and you're going to have to go through me. And I think this is a critical point to find out, does Dustin Poirier still have it? And does he have it against a guy who still has, you know, still fresh in the game in the UFC, has a lot of tools, is extremely dangerous, is very hard to take out. And this is kind of a match made in heaven. Both these guys, I think, are going to deliver a tremendous performance. If it goes the distance, man, it's going to be a classic. If it doesn't, I'm really curious to see who gets the win here.
Gosh, there's so much to unpack for me. So on the Poirier side, and you laid it out well, and I like that you sort of related to your own situation. some of these fights are going to be more appealing than others. And I think a lot of the fans are starting to speculate that maybe Dustin Poirier, not unlike he received at UFC 291 in the BMF fight against Justin Gaethje, would be getting pay-per-view points here on a Sean O'Malley headline pay-per-view, or getting something wicked lucrative, seven figures to show, whatever it may be. I mean, Dustin Poirier has realized several huge paydays. And I'm not talking about his hot sauce that just so happens to be the official hot sauce of the UFC. Those two Conor McGregor pay-per-views, you know, on the back end of COVID-19, you know, gave him generational wealth to some degree, I would think. So what do you think lies at the heart of this for Dustin? That Saint-Denis is all the rage for guys like you and me, and maybe while Armand Tsarukyan, and Tsarukyan's an interesting case because he is his American Top Team teammate, right? But Beneil Dariush was riding an 8-fight winning streak, but whether it's a stylistic thing or a name value thing, that fight did not at all resonate with Dustin Poirier. So whether it's financial or stylistic, I guess for me, I feel like it's because Saint-Denis is all the rage and he wants to mute that noise. But what do you think lies at the heart of this decision? Because fans are pleasantly surprised on the whole that he took this fight.
Well, I think certainly making money is going to be at the forefront of that decision. That is something I really didn't have, right? Dustin Poirier had that. I do not have or never got that, where you know you're going to go into a fight and make at least $1 million. Dustin Poirier is in a great position and is certainly trying to take advantage of that as he is at, you know, kind of the end of his career now. And yeah, this is a very interesting fight. Now, I'm glad you brought up the last fight between BSD and Dariush, because I think that Dariush, and he's still a great fighter, but he does have some sloppy tendencies. And I think Benoit Saint-Denis does as well at times. And I think that, you know, I'm curious to see if he's able to refine that. And I think he will need to against someone like Dustin Poirier, who can expose that. If I'm looking at someone who makes less mistakes, who has a ton of experience, that knows how to poke holes in those vulnerabilities and look for ways to win, Dustin Poirier is that guy. So this is a massive, massive fight for Benoit Saint-Denis. He has the opportunity here to defeat a massive name in the sport. And from there, you know, probably one or two fights away from a title shot. So I think that, you know, striking, he's going to have to be very careful on the feet against someone like Poirier. You could argue he might be the more durable guy, though, you know, considering Poirier has been around the sport for a very long time.
Right.
You know, on the ground, I think he can certainly pose a lot of problems, you know, with his wrestling, with his positioning, with his ground and pound against someone like Dustin Poirier. So fascinating fight. Great matchmaking. Can't wait to see it.
I was just scanning DraftKings Sportsbook to see if there was a betting line yet on Dustin Poirier and Benoit Saint-Denis. I'd imagine somewhere out there, there is one. But it's just an absolutely fascinating fight. And Benoit Saint-Denis deserves a lot of credit. I believe there were rumblings that maybe he felt like fighting Matt Frivola in November at Madison Square Garden was a little bit too quick a turn, having competed in Paris. And even though he realized wild success in both of those settings, I feel like there was part of him that maybe felt like that was a quick term, but promotionally he stepped up and now he is obviously reaping the benefits. And gosh, what a huge injection to this UFC 299 fight card. Sean O'Malley and Marlon Vera is your championship main event. Then you have the new co-main event, Dustin Poirier and Benoit Saint-Denis. Kenny, you also have at welterweight Gilbert Durinho Burns against Jack Della Maddalena. Kevin Holland welcomes Michael Venom Page to the UFC for the first time. This is all UFC 299, Miami, Florida, March 9th. Curtis Blaydes and Jailton Almeida, previously a main event. That fight got put back together. Caitlin Chookagian, Macy Barber. I mean, bro, like, do you want me to go on? You want me to fucking go on right now? How about Mataj Gamrot and Rafael Dos Anjos? Do you want more? Because Piotr Jan's on the fucking card, like eight fights deep. You want more? Piotr Jan, Song Yadong, Pedro Munoz, Kyler Phillips, bro. I mean, you know?
Well, I mean, UFC 300 is going to have to do something even bigger than that, which makes it that much more exciting. But yeah, 299 has turned into a tremendous card, man. That's awesome.
All right. Well, I'm not going to transition just yet, but in about 60 seconds, we are going to get to UFC 300, April 13th. Does that conflict with your PFL schedule, by the way? Are you coming out?
I don't even know yet.
He's like, well, dude, just can you chill? and you fucked the chill this January. All right, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL playoffs, is bringing you an offer that will help make the playoffs absolutely electrifying. New customers can bet $5 on any game and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. So playoff odds, I looked at them this morning for the first set of wildcard games, are now available on DraftKings Sportsbook. Matthew Stafford heading back to Detroit to take on his former team, the Lions. Lions 3-point favorites over the LA Rams right now. And can the Philadelphia Eagles right the ship? I'm not so sure. They're 2.5-point favorites at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Pretty good draw for Philadelphia, all things considered. A lot of different ways, though, for you to get after it this coming weekend. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code AFPOD. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code AFPOD. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Two goals for me when I read a commercial spot: do right by the sponsor, right? Keep you engaged. But also rifle through that motherfucker as quickly as humanly possible. I've noticed there's a lot of commentary on the internet about, you know, oh, Anik just reads promos. And I don't care if people don't think I call fights and I just read promos. But nothing makes me happier when someone replies to that slapdick and suggests, yeah, but do you see how quickly he does them to try to get back to fight action? Because one thing that I now have 13, 14, 15 years of experience doing is reading, you know, Modelo Brood for those with a fighting spirit. These EA Sports promos are sensationally long. And one skill that I think I have accrued over 15 years on a UFC microphone or so is being able to rifle through these things, because the sport happens so quickly. Our producer Lappy might be like, we'll follow you on Toyo or we'll follow you on EA. And it's like, it's anybody's guess as to whether or not somebody throws and lands a wheel kick all of a sudden, you know? So we try to get through those as quickly as possible, I guess, is the greater point.
I always think it's funny how people think that's like, it's you coming up with these things that you kind of want to just talk about. Right. Like, let me just throw this little advertisement in there. Right. It's like, there's a lot of shit to do during these broadcasts, guys. And John Anik is captaining that ship. So, yeah,
it is interesting. And thank you for saying that. Right. As if I have any sort of control as to whether or not those get out there. I mean, I have some control, I guess, when it comes to the timing. I can certainly wave them off if I think something climactically is going to happen in that moment. But as far as our inventory commercially and getting it all out there, I have no choice about that. All right. UFC 300. And perhaps this gives us some clarity in the lightweight division. Perhaps you can infer things about the welterweight division and Leon Edwards. Perhaps not. But as of this taping, and again, we go live to tape here on the Anik and Florian podcast, a lightweight title eliminator has been announced: Arman Tsarukyan and Charles Dubronx Oliveira. Certainly, from a mixed martial arts standpoint, Kenny, it's a pay-per-view headliner. It's a dream of a fight. It's been added to this robust UFC 300 lineup, and the winner will fight for the title. But perhaps most newsworthy in all of this, and I know it's hard for you to curb your enthusiasm for the actual contest, but Islam Akhachev is the lightweight champion. Charles Oliveira was injured and forced out of what would have been the third defense, or second defense, I should say, for Makhachev, right? Now it seems as though Charles Oliveira is going to have to re-earn that championship opportunity. Perhaps Justin Gaethje is on the inside track now. I don't know. But what do you make of this major, major announcement, Tsarukyan and Charles Oliveira, and how it might impact Islam Makhachev's next title defense?
I think it's extremely interesting and somewhat unfortunate for Charles Oliveira, if I'm being honest, because here he was on the brink of getting that rematch against Makhachev. He gets cut open, unable to compete. Volkanovski takes his spot. Now things get delayed a lot more. And I think this is an extremely risky fight for him against someone like Tsarukyan. I think that Tsarukyan could give him a lot of problems on the feet. I think if Oliveira wants to take this to the ground, where I feel he will certainly have the advantage, especially if he's able to get top position and things like that, I think that, you know, he's got to get through that wrestling of Tsarukyan, which is not going to be easy. Tsarukyan has the ability to keep this on the feet for the most part. And for Oliveira, I think his best bet is either getting to a clinch, trying to utilize those knees and looking for some kind of knockout and utilizing his range and length advantage, which I think he will have against Arman. So, yeah, fascinating fight. Very risky for Oliveira. I think there's going to be way more pressure on the side of Oliveira. I think Sarukyan's going to have a lot more leverage heading into this fight. I think from an opportunity perspective, but still a fascinating fight between two very exciting fighters. Both, you know, are streaking hot right now, and another great fight, man. So And to your other question, does this mean that Gaethje's going to sneak in there and get the next opportunity against Mahashev? I don't know, but I would argue it's probably the more profitable fight for the UFC. From a marketing perspective, Gaethje Mahashev should sell better than perhaps any other option out there right now.
And obviously there are calendars that come into play. Health comes into play. Dana White did take to a post-fight press conference setting, I believe, right after Islam Makhachev, Alexander Volkanovski, too, and said, yeah, Charles Oliveira is still the number one contender. He's still going to be the guy. But good on Charles for accepting a guy who, in some respects, in a division full of boogeymen, is the boogeyman of this division and not a guy that anybody is in a great rush to fight. Now, certainly Justin Gaethje would fight Armand Tsarukyan in his first title defense, or would it be for the world title? But the Tsarukyan fight doesn't make any sense for Justin Gaethje. And as we mentioned, Armand Tsarukyan is Dustin Poirier's teammate. So what the UFC really needed this for this lightweight division was for Charles Oliveira to step up and fight Armand Tsarukyan, and that's what he's doing at UFC 300. And good on DuBronx for, you know, trying to add to his already just overflowing legacy with a win over that guy. So I absolutely love it. As far as Justin Gaethje is concerned, Kenny, did you want to jump in on something there?
I was going to say, you know, I wanted to piggyback on something. And I also think that it's good preparation if he's able to get by Tsarukyan, just with his, you know, wrestling ability and striking ability. I think it could be a great fight to set him up in preparation for someone like Mahashev as well.
Right. So as far as Justin Gaethje is concerned, we sort of unintentionally had a long form conversation about Justin Gaethje on the awards show and how big a 2023 it was for him. Not a lot of people burning up Sean Shelby's phone asking to fight Rafael Fiziev, right? Mm-hmm. Goes into London, beats Rafael Fiziev in your fight of the year, and then puts a capstone on his year by winning the BMF belt. So I have been steadfast in my conversations with Justin Gaethje. At this point in time, you got a lot of money. Like, if the goal really is the undisputed UFC lightweight championship fight, and again, I'm probably putting the cart before the horse. Maybe there will be an announcement later this week. But, you know, with respect to Max Holloway immortalized behind me, you know, Justin Gaethje can't be dicking around defending the BMF belt at this stage of his career. You have to fight for the undisputed UFC lightweight title. Your whole 2023 set you up for that opportunity. He made himself basically impossible to deny in a division that makes it very hard to do just that. So if I'm Justin Gaethje, this is welcome news. And maybe this is a precursor. Maybe we do see Islam Makhachev and Justin Gaethje at UFC 300.
Yeah, listen, I think it's spot on. I think that Gaethje learned a lot in that experience against Khabib Nurmagomedov. And I think because of that, we'll take that experience into this, what I think is going to be an eventual fight against Mahashev. I think it's the biggest fight that makes sense that you could put together at 155 pounds right now. Certainly, Conor McGregor is the biggest name in that division, but that's not a fight that makes sense against Mahashev at this standpoint. Gaethje is a fight that does make sense. He's got that wrestling background. I think he will be the superior striker in this one, in the way I see it right now, against Mahashev. And it's massive, and I couldn't agree more. I mean, he did everything he needed to do to put himself in this position. Why not wait? Gaethje has talked about the fact that he does not want to fight a long time. The style that he has had over the last decade or so has not lent him to be that guy that fights into his 40s. He understands there's a short time frame here. He's made a lot of money over the last few years, especially. And I think he realizes the time is now. Get in, get out. He collected a lot of money as he deserves to. And that's a fight I would love to see, man.
So UFC 300 would suggest a championship triple header. Now, the big fights are really starting to come on UFC 300, but Conor McGregor's not walking through that door. Sean O'Malley's not walking through that door. Chael Sonnen and others have suggested that the reason why Sean Strickland is sort of being expedited into this first title defense is that maybe the calendar would align for the Sean Strickland, Dracus Duplessis winner to fight somebody like Israel Adesanya April 13th at UFC 300. But as you start to think about things, and how this might relate to Leon Edwards and Bilal Muhammad in this welterweight division, right? There are some people, and I think Henry Cejudo is one of these guys, and I really enjoy his content. Go subscribe to his YouTube channel. But, you know, in one breath, maybe he puts over Bilal Muhammad, and another breath, he'll promote a fight between Islam Akhachev and Leon Edwards. And I'm not trying to belabor this point here today, but wouldn't it make a lot of sense to do Islam Akhachev, Justin Gaethje, and then Leon Edwards, Bilal Muhammad is 2 year, three title fights at UFC 300. And then you have a slot reserved. I mean, who knows what happens with Raquel Pennington and Maida Bueno Silva. Just saying, you know, 301, 303, these fight cards thereafter are starting to take shape. To me, Ken Flo, I'm going lightweight title fight, welterweight title fight, UFC 300, T-Mobile Arena, standing room only. What do you think?
I think that's the way to do it. I think it's a fight that, you know, those are fights that make a whole lot of sense. Stack it up, man. This is a huge, huge event, and I can't wait to see what they do.
So sorry we couldn't get Drakus Duplessis. We got Ray Longo coming up here in about 5 minutes, but I did want to sort of let you into a text thread that I was on with Rogan in DC, and we were talking about Bilal Muhammad and competing before, during, after Ramadan. And this is a circumstance that we sort of highlighted here on the Anakin Florian podcast. Ramadan is not the same dates all the time, right? This year, it happens to fall from the first week of March until April 9th, which is during the fight week for UFC 300. Now, if you watch Remember the Show with Bilal Muhammad on our Anakin Florian podcast YouTube channel, he is bullish about his chances to realize success in a fight that has a training camp that happens throughout Ramadan. He's done this 4 or 5 times in his career. This timing, I think, is particularly challenging, right? That all of a sudden, come April 9th, you know, Monday or Tuesday of that fight week, you're actually allowed to eat and drink during the day. His chef Ian Larios has suggested, like, maybe sleeping during the day, but that gets rid of the suffering that you're trying to do to and for your people, right? So I think public perception differs. Like Joe Rogan, I would trust his opinion over mine. Certainly he knows the human body and martial arts better than I do, you know, but like, it's gotta be less than ideal for Bilal. I mean, maybe at times there's a mental fortifying component to it, right? But you got to take your title fight when it comes, of course, whether it's on 6 weeks notice or otherwise, but man, that is a real variable. I would think, Kenny, for Bilal to have the entire training camp for his first UFC championship opportunity with that circumstance, even if he won't admit it publicly as a factor.
No question about it. No, I certainly haven't been in that spot where I need to fast for long periods of time. I mean, listen, there's the cutting of weight for fights, which I have experienced. And I think there's the side of saying, all right, well, physically, how long can he keep this up for? At what point does he get diminishing returns from his training sessions and his diet and all that stuff? You know, will that creep up on him and take away from his ability to perform on fight night against Leon Edwards? There's the other side of it where I think that faith and a spiritual component can allow someone to do things that maybe they wouldn't have been able to do without that spiritual backing, right? Without that spiritual and faith motivation. And I think that a lot of times you can gain a lot of strength from that spiritually, mentally, from going through something like that. So I imagine Bilal, being the positive dude that he is, being the religious dude that he is, that is going to find strength in this perspective. You know, whether it's real or not, I don't know. And whether the physical aspects of that will outweigh that, only time will tell, because obviously you're doing a ton of training during that time, right? And you need to be able to replenish all those nutrients that you're losing, you know, the muscle mass that you could potentially be losing from these intense training sessions. So how he manages that is going to be critical, but he's certainly in a very difficult spot, as you kind of alluded to way back when you kind of called this. And I think it really is a very interesting twist to the story as we get closer to UFC 300.
As a commentator, sometimes I wonder how much to lean into that. How much do I lean into Drakus Duplessis' deviated septum surgery because maybe his cardio looks better, right? You don't necessarily always know the right answer. What you do know is that your words can paint a narrative and paint the picture, yes, and become the perception, which becomes the reality. So if we say, wow, look at Drakus Duplessis, can finally fucking breathe, you know, then all of a sudden it becomes, you know, people are handicapping the fight and their jumping off point is the goddamn deviated septum. So Yeah, we'll see what happens with UFC 300, but I think it makes a lot of sense for Leon Edwards, Bilal Muhammad, and Islam Akhachev against Justin Gaethje. All right, Ray Longo coming up here in a few minutes, but Ken Flo, later this week, you're going to make picks for the first fight card of the year. It is the rematch between Magomed Ankalaev and Johnny Walker. Now, you will be required in 2024 to still pick all UFC main events. But without spoiling our new scoring system for the main event challenge, which is going to be revealed on Wednesday or Thursday, for the first time since 2015 or 2016, while you will be required to break down every main card fight, you are not going to be required to give a prediction on every single main card. You see him smiling. You're not going to be required to make a pick on every single main card fight. Now, you did not ask for this. You're still going to be giving a lot of predictions to our UFC and DraftKings audience, of course, but kind of nice, right, that you can break down a co-main event and I'm not making you, forcing you, holding your head underwater to make a pick.
It is kind of nice. I'm sure the maybe some of the fans won't see it that way. I'm sure I'll get a lot of flack. And if you guys want to hear more picks from me, go ahead. You know, call me out. I'll do my best to accommodate that. But yeah, it is nice, especially for me. You know, I know a lot of these fighters sometimes, and it can be awkward making some of those decisions and some of those picks. But at the same time, I'm a competitive asshole, so I do want to win. I'm going to do whatever it takes to go out there and get the win this year. But yeah, I like it, man, and I like this new format, which is to be revealed.
Yeah, we're very excited for that coming up Thursday, and I think the fans are really going to enjoy the new look. Anakin Florian Podcast Main Event Challenge remains to be seen as to whether or not Kenny and Cody will actually break a bottle over their heads and make good on the punishment. No punishments, though, actually, in 2024. We're going in the other direction with rewards. All right. Star of the show, Ray Longo, coming up in 60 seconds. But Lucy is upping the nicotine pouch game with breakers. Pouches packing a little something extra inside. So what are Lucy breakers exactly? Well, if you know your pouches, you know the nicotine doesn't hit immediately, and neither does the flavor. Well, the sharp minds at Lucy came up with a brilliant way to fix both problems. They put a mini liquid capsule inside each breaker's pouch. You grab a breaker's pouch, break the capsule, yes, with your teeth. It makes a really satisfying pop, actually. Put it in your lip and enjoy the immediate nicotine and flavor release. A new kind of pouch technology, and it is only available from Lucy. 100% pure nicotine, 6 delicious flavors. That includes unique ones like apple ice or espresso, and also some classics like mint or mango. So time to break up with your dusty gas station pouches and go to lucy.co/AFPod and use promo code AFPod to get 20% off your first order. Lucy offers free shipping and also has a 30-day refund policy. If you change your mind, that is lucy.co and use code AFPod to get 20% off. And as always, free shipping. Here comes the fine print. Lucy products are only for adults of legal age, and every order is age verified. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Also addicting, the dulcet tones of Raymond Peter Longo. Let's get to the Ray Longo Minute.
It's now time for the Ray Longo Minute.
I want you to punch a hole in this fucking chest. That's what I want.
The Ray Longo Minute.
Starring Ray Longo.
The John Anik and Kenny Florian Podcast.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yeah! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Oh, let me center myself, guys.
Hey, buddy.
What are we doing?
Let me center myself as well here. So, I don't know if we talked about this on the Anakin Florian Podcast, and it's great to see you as always.
No, it's great to see you guys.
But this show really is an extension of my friendship with you as much as it is an extension of my friendship with Ken Flo. Like, I used to joke in 2015 and 16, like, that this would be a good way for me to continue my friendship with Ken Flo. It's not like we like talk on the phone. I'm like, Ray, no, we're not doing it. We're not doing it right off the top of the show with the dog. Are we really doing it?
No. We're not doing it. Okay. This dog sucks. Okay. Get over here. Come here.
So my
we're
dog.
Deleting the dog.
I'm actually going to send my dog away. Cody, I hope you hate like this middle screen looking at his ceiling on the DraftKings network as much as I do, right? Because I know I don't have executive privileges to just move on at this point. Oh, he just took him out of the show. So my dog, right? we got my dog on the heels of like a 5-week boot camp. I think somebody put down a deposit for her, and then it looked like maybe she was going to be the runt of the litter. So they returned her and we were able to get this dog. I'm sending her away to a boot camp, right? I would rather send my dog away to a boot camp and drive a minivan than get a new Lexus or get a Rolex. Like, that's what I want to spend my money on, because every time I go downstairs, Kenny, she's got all fours on the fucking kitchen table.
Oh, no. She
you want to talk about my baseboards or no?
Dog is fucking crazy. Sorry,
mine too.
Guys.
Is she chewing on stuff, John?
Oh, yeah. My dog ate my brand new baseboard. Like, she ate like a yard of it off.
Oh, man. No, you know, right. My dog ate my sliding door.
She's
to my
getting old. She's getting old, man. She's acting weird.
Is that lucky?
That's lucky.
Might need to take Lucky out back at some point.
No, let me tell you something, man. It's actually coming tonight. She's locked in the basement. Let's see if we can hear her if she barks, but I don't think we will.
So I go both ways on this, right? Like, sometimes we have fun with the dog, right? And we smile a little bit, you know, but some of our listeners last week were like, actually more put off than I was, you know, it made me not feel so bad. They were like, hey, you got to get rid of the dog, you know, and then I'm getting blamed like it's my fucking dog. I will tell you, as bad as my dog is, and as long as we are going to send her away for, she's still downstairs. And I assure you, she's not going to get in the way of this podcast. If it's the last time.
Okay. That's the last time she goes.
Is this an old Yeller ending? For old Lucky? Take him out to the woods. What's happening?
Might have to take that walk. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I love the dog.
I'm just kidding.
So, well, and I know you love the dog, and there have been several iterations of Lucky over the course of the nearly 9-year history of the Anakin Florian podcast. But I will say, in that moment 2 minutes ago, that's as upset as I've seen you get at Lucky, at least on our airwaves.
Well, she didn't even last us 30 seconds.
So where is she now?
So you got to remember, I sit, put the TV on, I watch TV because I figured I'd try to trick her. As soon as I start talking, the dog goes fucking crazy. I don't know. I'm not even making eye contact. It's bizarre.
So, Kenny, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm good.
Well, so we had a dog trainer to the house real quick on Saturday to assess my dog's situation. You know, I'm like ready to back up a Brinks truck. Oh, you can't take my dog today? Oh, February 12th. Okay. You know, can we plan it around like when I'm not in Saudi Arabia and Miami, like when I'm home? So she's like not getting in the way of everything. But dog trainer came to the house, made an assessment, and we're shipping her out, Raymond. She's gone. You know,
she is gone.
Like, where's your dog right now?
My dog's in the basement right now.
And she might be barking in the basement. We don't know.
We have no idea.
Right. But you're not concerned about that because we got a lot of things we want to get to.
You know, it's the old joke, Kenny, right? You put your lock, you lock your wife and the dog in the trunk together for an hour. Guess who's happy to see you when you open the trunk? Who's happy? Your wife and the dog. The dog's always good. Don't worry about it.
That's right. One thing this dog trainer said to us, because I've tried to not be, you know, the primary human being upon which this dog latches. But I guess with a female dog, oftentimes the man of the house, whether they like it or not, right? Had I known that, I would have gotten a dog with a dick 100% of the time. But I didn't want to deal with the male genitalia, you know.
Yeah. Is this,
you got to move on.
Is this where this podcast is heading?
No.
Where we're going?
No, I mean, dogs were not even, believe it or not, on my list until Lucky so rudely interrupted us.
I tell you, horrible.
All right.
I'm mortified. But go ahead. Let's go.
Okay.
What do we got? What do we got, guys?
I don't know if we talked about this on the air before, but our fine audio engineer and part-time producer, Will Berger, is going to be getting you identical audio setups for the podcast at your home and at the gym. Were you aware of this or no?
Cody mentioned something. Yeah.
So Will Berger and my brother have been coordinating, and of course, Cody. So that's all going to happen, you know. So in the not too distant future, you're going to be able to show up, put the cans on or whatever exactly the conduit is. And you're just going to be able to.
Kenny can't even control his left. Look, he's hiding behind his head. This is embarrassing at this point.
Well, you sound good. No, it's not. I mean, it's not like, you know, if it was our 45th episode, our 456th today. Anyway, all right. A lot to get into. So one thing I said off the top of the show, the Dustin Poirier fight for a fellow lightweight contender, that's the big fight. That's the biggest name in the division with respect to Conor McGregor, who's no longer there, right? It's the second biggest fight to the champion Islam Makhachev. And, you know, it's a hard fight to get. Beneil Dariush, Paul Felder, a lot of guys who try to get that Dustin Poirier fight, right?
Oh, wow.
And Benoit Saint-Denis got that fight. Have you heard that news that Benoit Saint-Denis is fighting Dustin Poirier, 5-round co-main event in Miami, 2 months from tomorrow, essentially? I was curious if you had any thoughts on that, just given the connective tissue between Benoit Saint-Denis and your guy, Matty Frivola.
Yeah, look, I think Benoit's going to be a tough challenge. I think he's a, you know, he's an up-and-comer. He's got momentum. But Dustin's coming off that knockout from Gaethje. Who knows? I mean, you know, look, these guys all get to a point where you never know when it's going to start going downhill. That's always the question for me. Like, are they still into it the way they used to be into it? They're getting older. They made some money. You know, things just change. I don't know if he still has the chops he used to, but he's going to have Dustin's still very good, and I think he'll win the fight, but I think it's going to be a tough fight.
The other big fight announcement from Dana White, at least over the last 12 hours or so, UFC 300, Armand Tsarukyan and Charles Dubronx Oliveira lightweight title eliminator.
Great fight.
Yeah, how about that fight? It's just great that we're getting sort of clarity back-to-back pay-per-views, and we'll see if the belt is on the line in that division or not. All right, so we got a couple things brewing coming up this weekend. So this UFC respite, I think a lot of UFC fans handle it differently. I actually really felt it this year, and maybe it's because the college football bowl season was kind of trash, but yeah, I mean, I think we're all jonesing to watch a UFC prelim coming up mid-afternoon this Saturday.
100%, man. I'm in withdrawal symptoms right now. Isn't that crazy though? Sometimes we're bitching about it, sometimes we're not, but I guess we're addicted at this point, man. We need fights, and this was a long break.
Yeah, this was particularly long. December 16th to January 13th. Magomed Ankalaev and Johnny Walker, the light heavyweights, making the walk this weekend. Obviously, some history between these two gentlemen. Any thoughts on that as it pertains to the light heavyweight division, Ray?
I'm kind of curious to see how that plays out after what happened last time. I'm going to go with Johnny Walker on that one.
Johnny, whoa, hang on. Hey, hang on a second, Ken Flo. I know it's your turn. Hang on a second. So you're going to have to elaborate on that, because Johnny Walker is plus 350 right now.
Is he plus
on DraftKings Sportsbook? A huge underdog. You're going to put your money where your mouth is. Obviously, our check didn't arrive yet, but he's a huge underdog, Ray. That's going to surprise some people that you're.
Ankalaev is like a steady Eddie type of guy. He always kind of gets the job done. Nothing super impressive, but Johnny Walker, look, he is a guy that out of nowhere could hit you with something and put you out. I mean, he's got that type of chance, I think.
Yeah, I wonder, too, you got the UFC Apex angle. The last meeting was in Abu Dhabi, all the pageantry that came with UFC 294 on the pay-per-view. And all right, Ray Longo's on the record. Plus 350 can be had right now at DraftKings Sportsbook. Kempfler, what do you have?
Ray, I wanted to ask you about Connor. You know, it seems like he's trolling a little bit. He says, yes, Chandler, I'm going to fight you, but it's going to be at 185 pounds. Do you think he's serious about this? And what Connor do we see, man?
Listen, man, I think he's a guy that likes pressing buttons, right? He's that guy. He wants to be the top dog. And I guess in the limelight, I mean, the 185 thing is bizarre, but that's what you got to love about Chandler. I think he could say 225 and Chandler's fight.
He'd say yes.
He'd say yes. So I think he picked the wrong guy Chandler's going to go with anything he says. And I really don't think Chandler gives a shit. So I think that's the good news. But, man, kind of, you know, it's like it's more – it's just more bravado than it is anything. You know what I mean? I think he just, it's the same reason, you know, like, why does a dog lick its balls? Because it can, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, and that Connor's just going to do shit because he can. And he doesn't want to be controlled by anybody. And I think he likes making outrageous statements. And, you know, that's just, it is what it is. But I don't think he's trying. Wait, what do you live?
No, if this fight's at 85, I mean, what are we doing?
It's crazy. I mean, look, first off, somebody's got to get in. Somebody, Dana should, step in and take control and issue some ultimatums, I think. But that's what I'm saying. I think Connor does whatever the fuck he wants to do. And that's why he does it, because he gets away with it. I don't know.
Where do you think his head is at this stage of the game? Like, what do you think he's fighting for? It can't be money at this stage of the game, or is it?
I don't think it's money at all. I think, look, Conor, one thing with Conor, Conor is a fighter. He handles himself like when he's fighting, when he's in the zone and he's fighting, you know, even when he loses the right way, says the right thing. Conor's 100% a fighter. But now he's a fighter and entertainer, and I think the entertaining part and the trolling part is probably bigger than the want to fight, like, you know what I mean? So I think that's where he's caught up. He gets a lot of attention with this type of shit, and that's probably better attention than taking a loss. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's running through his mind, but I think he's just, he loves trolling. He loves pressing buttons. I do think he's a fighter at heart, but, you know, you start partying and going berserk, it just, you can't sustain both of them. Definitely can't sustain both of them.
So I guess in one part, I've been wrong about my proclamation that he wants more MMA scalps to enjoy his retirement. Like, I think you're right. There's a competitor within here. I do think his broken leg is sort of dismissed a little bit too much as far as it being a factor, because that third fight against Dustin Poirier, had that leg break not happened, I think he was going to try to turn around in a few months. And Kenny, buried in what Ray said was, I think, the most important point that, like, I keep coming back to, that he is a true fighter, that he can't scratch this particular itch in a boxing ring or on a fucking yacht, right? Like, he wants to compete in the UFC, and then his leg snapped in two, and that's, you know, that sets you back like 2 years. I do think we see him twice in the octagon this year. I just hope the first one's not at 185 pounds, but I do think he wants to get back in there, you know, every few months, like all these other men and women.
And Joe, let me just say something, Kenny. Good point with the leg break thing, because with the leg break comes painkillers, comes steroids to try to get healed faster, and all of those things carry side effects to them. And I think maybe that's kind of what we're seeing too. You get into self-medicating yourself, and that injury was no joke. You're probably onto something with that. He probably would have turned around a little quicker, but, you know, now he's, you know, with all the rehab and it's a tough injury. You know, I think it brought on a lot of other stuff with him.
Yeah. And I wonder, you know, I think for me, and it's a result of that injury, because Conor is as mentally tough as anyone out there, right? I mean, I've never seen anybody give an interview after a compound fracture. That just takes an insane amount of mental fortitude there.
Yeah.
And just the way that he performs, you know, we've seen him under pressure so many times before, and he rises to the occasion. But I think what is a bigger concern, if I'm a part of the Conor camp, is how much has Conor improved with all of this time away from the sport? We're not competing against just some other guy and putting on another fight. He's still trying to be elite. And when the elite are training all the time, and you've taken off a year and a half for this injury, or a year of, you know, going out and doing boxing, and another year doing this and doing that and taking a break, you know, if there is no consistent training, how good can he actually be? How can he improve as an athlete? So I think that's kind of the bigger mountain for him to climb at this stage of the game, when everybody are savages and are training every single day.
Yeah, no. Great points. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think the quicker he can get in there and get rid of whatever demons he's carrying in there, the better it is for him. But you're right. It's hard to make up that time. You're getting older. I could tell you, even with Chris, man, that leg's still, you know, still a concern, man.
Atrophying,
it's crazy, man. It really is. So I think he's just doing, you know, look, the 185 thing, who the hell knows? I mean, he shouldn't be at 185 for sure, but he's just playing head games too. He's probably just trying to torture Chandler, like the fight's not going to happen. Who knows what he's doing?
Right. I mean,
you know, he's in his own head, and he's, you know, he's not going to control him, though, at this point. That's right. The major problem. There's no controlling him. I don't think Dana can control him. I think he's got enough money. Well, he's just going to do whatever the fuck he wants to do.
Well, and if anybody can call his own shot, it's him. But yeah, torturing guys like me that are begging for fights that actually have some divisional relevance. But gosh, like, I'm stuck on Kenny's point about the elite fighters training constantly and improving, because they're not all doing it, right? But
a huge percentage
of the top level guys, right? Like Bilal Muhammad, what is he doing all day? Yeah. Are you sick of me bringing up his name? Well, all he's doing is training. And even though Alex Pineda has recently maybe taken some time for himself, all that motherfucker did for 2 years was get better and train, while other guys, even within that division, are doing recreational things. Or I'm just saying, like, these guys were married to the game, right? And that's why when people talk about Leon Edwards, Bilal Muhammad, the first fight in 2021, and by the way, that was a short notice spot for Bilal filling in for Khamzat Chimaev. Leon Edwards is a totally different fighter, at least in terms of improvement in all areas, than he was in March of 2021. And Bilal's a completely different fighter, too. So, yeah, the elite fighters are improving, and we just don't know the extent to which Conor McGregor actually is.
Wait, let me hit that. I'm not sure of this, but the elite fighters that haven't tasted that money pot yet are training like animals, right? They haven't gotten there yet. Once you get there and you get a couple of big paydays, I think certain guys are just going to change. Well, maybe I got enough. I'll do this. I'll do that. Who knows? You know, I think they fight for a paycheck. Bilal's not there yet. And I think Bilal is a guy, when he gets there, or if he gets there, he'll handle that perfectly. I don't think, you know, he doesn't seem like the type of guy that'll go off the rails. But some guys, man, that's why I'm always questioning, even like a Dustin Poirier. Does he need it at this point? You know, Benoit, you know, that guy, he needs it. You know what I mean? Benoit, he definitely, you know, that aggression going up there is hard to stop sometimes if on the other side you have a guy that gets complacent.
I was with Dustin Poirier for a Toyo tire shoot recently in Vegas, and he was sort of intimating that it had been a hard few weeks for him, like without a fight on the books. We've heard Alexander Volkanovski talk about this, and I do think entering into your new life upon retirement for a lot of these men and women is going to become really difficult. But I think Poirier needs the purpose of a big fight on the books, and he certainly got one now. All right. I want to get into a few things involving your guys before we let you go, Ray. And, yeah, I mean, that lucky. I mean, if she's near the end of her life or not, she's very fucking throaty and wanting to be heard.
No, let me tell you, I'm both, dude. I mean, the house ain't small. She's
right.
In the freaking basement. You can't hear a goddamn thing down there. This is bizarre.
All right. Well,
I blame my wife.
Yeah, I think she's probably to blame as well. If your new audio setup, I don't know if it would help or hurt this, right? Could it make it so crystallized that we actually hear these barks even more? All right, Chris Weidman. I still haven't seen the Chris Weidman E60 special, but
it's rough.
I did. It was good. It was good. Yeah.
So looks like Bruno Silva is going to be next for your guy, Chris Weidman, Atlantic City, New Jersey, March 30th. Do I have that right?
That's 100% correct.
And you get to drive, huh?
Yeah. And I think we also, I think it looks like Bazooka is going to be on that card too, Dennis Bazooka.
Nice. Great.
Yeah.
All right. So Bruno Silva, Chris Weidman. I like Silva in that fight. What do you think? Just
kidding. Oh, man.
Talk to me. I mean,
Weidman was just in. He just came in off an 82-hour fast.
So, right.
He's starting to shed some weight. Look, man, I think Silva's, you know, obviously he's a dangerous guy standing up. You know, hopefully his takedown defense is for shit, which it looks like it is. But that's, I think, you know, look, Chris is tough, man. You're not going to get a guy with 30 surgeries and he breaks his leg and mentally you saw what he went through even the last fight. So hopefully you feel better. We'll make some adjustments. Or they'll make him down there. I mean, I'd love to see him come up and do the camp up here since the fight's in Jersey. But we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah. And also that would mean a winter in New York, which does not sound appealing when you live in the great state of South Carolina. But you never know. Looks like Conor Matthews, incidentally, will make his UFC debut against Dennis Bazooka in Atlantic City come March 30th. You will be at UFC 300 as well for April 13th because Aljamain Sterling is fighting Calvin Kattar in the featherweight division. That was also in my notes. We have not had a chance to sort of unpack that a little bit. I know anybody who considers Aljamain Sterling a friend is excited that they won't have to see him weigh in at 135 or 136 pounds. What are your thoughts on that fight, New York versus Boston and everything else?
I tell you, well, it's always going to have that element to it, which is always fun. Yeah, Cave is a great guy, you know. Aljo, I look, it's going to be a good fight. Aljo's really looking good. You know, he's been back for a couple of weeks, and I think he goes to Abu Dhabi for a grappling thing. But he's a big boy. He's big.
Yeah.
He's Ray, like really big.
Ray, Cater's a pretty big 45er, probably one of the bigger 45ers out there. You know, everyone always talks about the strength of Aljamain Sterling at 135 pounds. Do you think his size or strength is going to be a vulnerability fighting at 145 pounds, or do you think that's just not even going to be an issue?
I don't think. Look, Aljo, I've seen him, you know, submit and choke out big, strong guys. So I don't think it's going to be an issue. And again, you know, Kenny, it's funny with all of these guys. I mean, I just went through it the other day again. The guys making weight, they're always different than where they were 12 pounds before that, the week
right.
before. So it's going to be good to see a guy like Ken, like John said, not to see him suffer to get on the scale. And I think that'll be a big help to him. And look, I don't think Cade has ever faced anybody like Aljo, you know, with the diverse striking, the kicking attack, the grappling heavy attack. His jiu-jitsu is really, really good. And, you know, on the floor, I think it'll be a big, big advantage for Aljo. I respect Cade's striking at the top level. So, I mean, it's no joke, but I think he is one-dimensional, but that one-dimensional is phenomenal. I love it. But I think Aljo gets the job done, man. He's got more tools to win the fight. And, I think at the 45, not having to kill himself to make 35. I'm curious. I want to see it too. We don't know, but I can tell you how he looks before he gets that weight cut going. And it's pretty damn good. Like most of the guys do.
Right.
You know, that cut kills a lot of people, man.
Right. So he can perform way better. He'll have more strength, more energy on fight night than he did at 35 because he's killing himself to make that weight, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and he is getting older. So I believe it'll, you know, he does have the size and he does have the strength. So I don't think that's going to be a problem at all.
I felt like his brain was really in need of water when he fought Cejudo last May. You know, still won that fight, but I just felt like, you know, he wasn't totally there with us on Thursday, and I'm just happy and excited to see him perform at, well, it's nothing I haven't told you privately.
No.
But
John, it's gut wrenching seeing some of these guys,
yeah.
You know, and it's, that's how resilient the human body is because they hydrate up and they're in a fist fight. Like, it's not like I got to go give a presentation.
Right.
I mean, I could get killed potentially, you know, so. I don't know.
All right, let me get you out of here on this. What are you doing for Valentine's Day? That is February 14th.
Valentine's Day. What is
that? It's a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday.
You want to know what I'm doing?
Prepping for a show.
Exactly. I'm flying to L.A. for UFC 298. I might see Mehrab Dwalishwili there against Henry Cejudo. No?
Oh, yeah. Oh, is that what the date is?
February
18th. Hey, listen, I had a rough Christmas, man. I'm just coming out the back end now, so my brain still isn't working right. Yeah, that's right. That's going to be great, man.
February 17th, UFC 298, Honda Center.
So there's only one question then, John, for you.
What's that?
Will you be my Valentine?
Yes. I think we should go out.
That's
that
a date.
All right.
Let's go. We're doing it.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day with you.
I love it. And rest assured, if Mehrab Dwalishwili somehow beats Henry Cejudo,
somehow
I will risk my job. No, if he beats him, I will risk my job just the way I have for Bilal Muhammad to try to bark from the rooftops that your guy deserves the title fight, you know?
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Anything else before we let you go?
No, I'm very upset with the dog.
All right. Well, why don't you go
do what
you can about that? And
really upset.
That's okay.
I have no solutions besides death. That's the problem.
No, we'll figure it out.
Dog.
No treats for Lucky today. That's it.
All right. Unbelievable. All right. Listen, sorry, guys. I apologize. But
don't
as usual,
silly.
It's good to see you. I'll be in the groove next week. Get some fights going again. I'm excited. Let's do it.
Next week is a pay-per-view week, so we can't have the dog.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I
might have to. Yeah, I don't even want to tell you.
If she's still with us for the pay-per-view preview, maybe you could just, you know, put something around her mouth or something. I don't know if that's allowed.
Oh, yeah. Maybe muzzle her. That's a good point. Don't they have those muzzles that don't really hurt the dog?
Right.
You need those calming CBD treats, Ray.
Yeah.
That too. Yeah, blow a little smoke in the dog's face, Ray. Tell your wife this is the episode she should listen to, by the way. Okay? Hey, we'll talk to you next week. All right.
Take care, man.
You're right.
Sorry. Take care.
The Ray Longo Minute every week here on the Anakin Florian podcast. All right. We have a much longer episode coming your way later this week. We are scheduled to talk to Mike Malott, who competes against Neil Magny at UFC 297. We will also talk to the former two-time UFC bantamweight champion Dominic Cruz. Is he going to land on UFC 300? Hopefully, we get some answers Thursday here on the DraftKings Network. And we do apologize about Drakus du Plessis. I think he was traveling, maybe thought he was going to be in South Africa, but he was not. But we're going to keep this train rolling. So we hope you'll be back with us in a few days as we continue with our preview as well of UFC Fight Night, Ankalaev versus Walker. We will also unveil the new rules for our Main Event Challenge 2024 and see how Ken Flo and Brian Petrie spend their money on the first fight card of the year. Thank you to Ray Longo. Our executive producer is Cody Merrill. Also, don't forget, remember the show with Bilal Muhammad and Jason Anik every Thursday on the Anik and Florian Podcast YouTube channel. We have 2 weeks left of Anik Squared, NFL picks against the spread every week on the DraftKings YouTube channel. JohnAnik.com is now live. All of our new merchandise designs are up there. One More Sleep Designs in the not-too-distant future. Kenny Florian, MartialArts.com, Argus Integrated Defense as well. Check it all out on Instagram. We thank you on the front and back end for that. And we will talk to you in about 72 hours. Until then, for the former three-time UFC world title challenger, Kenny Florian, I'm John Anik. Thank you all for listening, for watching. Tell your friends. Tell your mother. We'll talk to you Thursday. You'll live. Yeah. Ha. Are you sure we're not in the Boston Garden? Yeah. Now, every time I start a verse, I break at least three commandments. Kind of like Pluto, because I never plan it. I'm outlandish in the way they make Apaches look like they own ranches. It's the art of war. Your blood's the only color on the canvas. And I don't mean it like a thug sense of how you can get got. Fuck being gangsta, I'm hip-hop. You got it every time you walk in the label. The A&R's are not it. Immune to your shit, because I circle, circle, dot, dotted. Body heat is a toxic. We got a beat, I don't got it. Speak cop and see, start to think psychically. Make the speakers speak elitistly. Off their high horse, make an ass of their views. Your DJ must not know the alphabet, forgetting his cues. My favorite DJ got those and six extra L's to abuse. Esoteric John P, and I'm the new kid at school. I'm Raider Ellis, nice to meet you, short bustin' my styles. Egocentric, ego tripping with frequent fly smiles. DJ wants to get in the bird, he gets in the bird. And Bird takes the shot, he's... You want to